How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. Exciting, exciting time in the world of professional wrestling. AEW Dynasty next week. You know, for all the people that say AEW does not tell a story, well, there's many stories brewing right now. There's many things brewing in this company, and I think they're doing a very good job at presenting the culmination to happen at All In. I think that's what this is leading. We'll talk about this because I'm very fascinated by what you guys think on how things are playing out in AEW right now. But I'm enjoying this. We're also going to be talking about AEW Collision and the build to Dynasty. Last night we had AEW Collision. I thought Dynamite was a lot of fun too. We'll talk about that a little bit. And the road to WrestleMania continues. SmackDown was live Friday afternoon from London. A lot of fun, that show. And they set up multiple scenarios for WrestleMania. And a lot of things are intertwining. CM Punk is still obsessed with Drew McIntyre. Damian Priest is involved. You have Cody opening the show with Randy Orton. And that's playing a big part. And then with Kevin Owens. So everything is, it's a web now. Nobody's in a box. And I'm really enjoying that. Also, we'll break down a little bit of Dynamite, what's to come this week, and UFC's interesting TV rights situation that's about to happen in a couple of weeks now, where the negotiation window opens up on April 15th. Could this be the end of UFC pay-per-views? Will this change the entire pay-per-view model? We're going to find out. We'll break this down. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Weather was beautiful yesterday here in New York. I was out and about. I posted a photo and everyone's like, what are you doing? It's not St. Patrick's Day. I'm like, yeah, it is in my town. It's St. Patrick's Day in my town. So yesterday was a busy day. And then I finally got home. I put on Collision, had a glass of Guinness. Hung out, watched the show. It was a nice day. But let's talk about SmackDown here. Friday afternoon, nothing better than an afternoon wrestling show. I want all the shows to be in the UK or in Europe because I like watching wrestling in the afternoon. Frees up my evening. I thought this was a fun show. That crowd was into everything. Lively European crowd with all the chants and all the songs. And all the comments and all the references that Americans do not understand. Absolutely great. Show opened up with Cody coming out. Then Randy would come out to the ring. They really enjoyed this. They were singing their themes. They were singing songs about them. This opening segment went very long. I watched with a VPN. Did they edit this from the broadcast, MG?
If you notice, there's little breaks that Tessitore will take, and it's meant to, and then they come right back, and okay. They did that in this segment too. So there's a break, and in the U.S., we're getting a commercial, and they're still carrying on the action, and they've been doing that with the net because Netflix has been broadcasting.
No, I know for the wrestling aspect, but did they cut this promo down at all for the?
I don't think they did.
I don't know. I didn't see the U.S. version. I watched, I wanted to watch it live.
Yeah.
So I watched with
a VPN.
Actually, but
either.
I thought this was really fun. Orton came out, and he was, the whole thing here was that he was putting Cody over super hard. He reminded the crowd of that Hell in a Cell match that Cody, essentially tore his bicep or his pec off the bone. The pec off the bone, and he continued wrestling. And he proved himself to be this worthy, tough competitor and that he has this, he respects him. But he also said that after he's done kicking Kevin Owens' head in at WrestleMania, that he wants a shot at the title. So, and he wants to go for number 15. Very interesting. I mean, it looks like to me, if that Cena wins, it is going to be Orton and Cena, where Orton's the babyface here.
SummerSlam.
And that could be the SummerSlam program where, like, you know, maybe for the last time ever, Randy Orton and John Cena for the title. One last time. Because, you know, the joke was these guys wrestled 450 times and people were tired of it.
Well, 451. Let's go.
Well, this will be 451. this brought out Drew McIntyre standing at the top of the ramp. He called out Orton. He calls Orton and Cody Nepo babies, which, you know, I guess he's right. This poor guy came into that company when he was 19 years old. He was the chosen one, remember? He was the chosen one. And it went nowhere. He got fired. He had to go to the indies. He had to rebuild himself and work super hard to get back here. Maybe a little bit there, Nepo babies. Maybe they got a little bit of an opportunity. But you know what? Cody had to do the same thing. He had to leave and come back.
Yeah, so Drew's whole thing is he just tells the truth. And everything he says is not a lie.
He just tells the truth.
It's just the way it's positioned and how he comes off. But yeah, I like it. I like his little run he's having.
No, I do too. Let's see. I lost my notes here. So sorry, because I need to say this in order here. Drew asked Orton what he's done recently to deserve a title shot. Drew told Orton to get back to the back of the line. He ended up avoiding an RKO at the end of the segment. It was also announced that Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton would face each other. Big match. I mean, that's a big match to put on the show. Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, Street Profits, defeated Pretty Deadly. Pretty Deadly. The crowd was really into them. Hometown heroes, right?
Yeah. I don't know if they're from London, but they're from England.
They're from England, yeah.
Can't remember.
They were very over. Crowd was really into it. This went about 7 minutes and 55 seconds. They've done a great job at building Montez and Angelo recently.
Montez Ford looks unreal.
He looks unreal. Shape. You know, we spoke about this, right? Do you remember we were talking about during the pandemic, he really shined. And even after the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about future champions in that company. Future main eventers. And it's fascinating because the landscape changed so rapidly that he took a back seat for a while, but I like that they paired him up again, and now they're, you know, they're doing this. I thought it was a mistake to attempt to separate them.
At some point they will, but now's not the time.
Now's not the time, no. The Secret Hervis. Finally, they got a name. Alba Fire and Piper Niven got a name. Defeated Caden Carter and Katana Chance. I had to mute myself there. My apologies. Braun Strowman defeated LA Knight. This was fun. So Strowman set up for the Strowman Express. Choo-choo. They should bring that sound effect back, right?
Oh, God, no. Please, no.
If Vince was here, that would be happening.
That was in the pandemic, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Oh, but even after. I think they did it a little after, too. So Strowman's doing that Strowman Express around the ring. And instead of running into an elbow from Jacob Fatu that came out of nowhere. That crowd erupted for Jacob Fatu. Erupted for him. Fatu hit a Samoan drop on Strowman on the commentary table. Then he did a series of hip attacks. He would hit multiple jump up moonsaults. This led to a backstage moment where, again, him and Solo had a face-to-face. Him, Solo, and Tama. So, I mean, that's probably the WrestleMania match, isn't it?
I feel like, yeah.
Are you going to extend that?
I don't know. It seems we're starting to get to the point where we're loading up Mania enough to where I feel like some of these programs are going to get pushed off until after. So,
I don't know. I'm interested with this because Jacob is really shining here.
Jacob needs to be on WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah,
point blank.
Yeah, no question
There's
about
no
it.
No doubt about it. So,
You got a Naomi vignette. Naomi said that she always wanted to do the right thing. Naomi asked Bianca Belair why her attack on Jade wasn't the right thing. Naomi said, moving forward, her message to Cargill is that if she continues to be in Naomi's way, she strongly advises Cargill to proceed with caution. This is really well done, how they put this together. It was more like a origin story of why she's bad.
Yeah, this is I enjoyed this a lot as far as how she's portraying herself now. And the caution is proceed with caution because now she's wearing caution tape. As
yeah,
gear.
Now she's in the Owen Hart Nation of Domination gear. which you know, I that was my pitch for MJF when he joins the Hurt Syndicate. he dresses up like Owen. Charlotte Flair defeated Mitchin. Tiffany Stratton was backstage and brought up how hard Charlotte came to at Tiffy last week. She said Charlotte is so insecure. She wouldn't let a rookie get a word out last week. Then she said if she loses to Mania, she loses to Charlotte, which is a legend. But if Charlotte loses to her, she lost to a little girl rookie. I'm not crazy about this. I'm not crazy. I don't know. This match is kind of... it hasn't done much. I don't know. There's still some time. You got Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton. Story here was that Orton was distracted by Kevin Owens, and McIntyre hit the Claymore for the win. You also had Jimmy Uso defeating The Miz in about 8 minutes. This following segment, and we're going to talk about the final segment of the show when we come back from break, because it's going to require some effort here to go into detail on what they're doing. But this is what I mean, how everything is intertwined. Drew McIntyre is trying to leave the building when Jackie Redmond tries to interview him. Damian Priest jumps him from behind and throws him through a windshield. Drew McIntyre screaming, "My eye!" As CM Punk walks by. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Do me a favor. Follow me on X at Andrew Zarian. It's a very nice account. Nothing crazy. I don't fight with people. I don't argue with anybody. I try not to. Sometimes. I try not to. Generally wrestling related. Let's talk about the ending of SmackDown here. Punk is rolling by. Drew McIntyre is on top of the glass. He goes through the windshield. He's yelling my eye. Punk looks at him. This leads to the Roman Reigns, CM Punk, Seth Rollins contract signing. The crowd went nuts for all three of these guys. You know, what a main event for a show. You know, it was a really good show. I enjoyed it. The crowd is so hot for everything. And now you're being given, you know, three of the biggest names in the company in this segment with a really cool story. Roman would come out first, acknowledge the crowd singing to him. He then signs the contract and says his obligation is done. Seth Rollins comes out. Rollins noted that how he and Roman had a lot of history in that building that they were in. He also repeated what he said last week about Roman not allowing him to end Punk. And now, once again, he has to clean up Roman's mess. CM Punk would come out, stood on the top rope, and he quoted Roddy Piper, the bubblegum. He's here to chew bubblegum and sign a contract, and he's all out of bubblegum. This is where it gets interesting. After everything is signed, after everybody signed the contracts, CM Punk will look over, and Roman kept telling him to look at a certain article in the contract. Paul Heyman would then look at Punk and say, "You're closing the show." Roman then turns around and says, "See, you got what you wanted." And Punk fires back. And it was fantastic, right? He goes, "That's great, but that wasn't the favor." And Heyman's face was priceless. There's also, did you catch the part where Roman was saying something along the lines of like for Punk to acknowledge him, you know? Did you see that?
Yeah.
And Heyman
put that in there,
kept nodding no. Heyman kept nodding no and goes, "Don't." Yeah. He mouthed "don't" to Punk.
So I guess the favor is a match with Roman?
I don't know. But obviously that's the favor. It's Roman. Roman's the favor.
Well,
right?
Roman is the favor. So here's a question. Is it possibly him leaving Roman and coming back with Punk? There's so many ways they can go.
I don't know, but I'm very interested in this. I'm very, very interested in this. Because you're setting up so many different avenues for them to go down.
That it's hard to follow anymore.
It is hard to follow, which is great. Like, you know, and I know some people are going to be upset, but is there a Lesnar element to this?
That's the other thing, yeah.
It's possible.
To bring him back
I'm not yet, giving you maybe. My opinion on this. I'm just throwing it out there. Is there a Lesnar element to this? Could you introduce him as well? Event, you know, obviously post WrestleMania, everything gets fixed, but gets realigned. But I'm looking forward to Roman and Punk. Do you need a title in this situation? Probably not. It's big enough. But it can't just be a match, you know. This has to lead to a big story here, and they have to do it right. Very curious about this, but very nice build for night one's main event.
Also, and on that too, Seth Rollins' part in this was priceless too. Where when he realized Punk was, he said, "You guys are main eventing," and Punk's like, "He doesn't deserve it." He was so passionate and so good here. That it just sold everything. I was like, oh, okay, now I'm kind of interested for this match. Not that I wasn't before, but yeah, it definitely, there's layers there. And that's one thing that they're doing very well lately is adding layers to these stories. So you don't know which way they might go.
Yeah. My sinus falling as we're doing the show. It's causing me immense stress at every time I move. It sinks down just slightly. So I thought this was great. They also, here's another thing that happened here. Rey Fénix debuting next week on SmackDown. They mentioned it and they showed a vignette of, and he's Rey Fénix. He's going by Rey Fénix. So him and his brother are on opposite rosters. What do you think of that?
I don't have a problem with it. I know some people might want him. They don't have to rush them being.
Listen, it's temporary. It's all temporary. None of that really matters.
Tessitore did call them the Lucha Brothers on commentary. So they are acknowledging that, yeah, his brother is Penta and they are a tag team, but he's on SmackDown. So who knows? I mean, it will probably course correct at some point and they'll put them together, but they have, you know, until the tag team situation kind of blends out, they don't need them right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, establish them as a single first and see where we go.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I think he'll do great. You know, they're WWE's a machine, and it's unfortunate that their AEW time went away, but these guys accomplished a ton in AEW. A ton.
They participated in what I think you will agree with me is one of the best matches I've ever seen live.
Oh, that the steel cage match. That one of the best tag matches I've seen. One of the best steel cage matches I've seen. I mean, it was, we were there. It was, I mean, that pay-per-view was really perfect for the time and place, and it was absolutely perfect. You know, you could argue, was there a better show out there ever? Yeah, sure, whatever. But I mean, for what it was absolutely perfect.
Indeed.
Here's a current WrestleMania card. Kevin Owens, Randy Orton. Roman Reigns, CM Punk, Seth Rollins to close night one. Women's Championship. Io Sky defends against Bianca. Well, I'm getting very confused. Did Io have the match with Rhea yet?
That is this week.
Yeah. Mm. So it's Io or Rhea. Facing Bianca Belair at WrestleMania.
Bianca is a special referee. If you don't,
and Bianca's a special guest referee for it. It's going to lead to a three-way, which is fine.
It's a triple threat. Let's just call it that.
Yeah. It's leading to a triple threat match. WWE Women's Champion Tiffany Stratton defends against Charlotte Flair. World Heavyweight Champion Gunther defends against Jey Uso, and Undisputed WWE Champion Cody Rhodes defends against Bad Boy John Cena, the baddest man alive. He's a bad boy, and he has a sad face, and he hates children, and you did not cheer for him all these years, and now, 20 years later, he's very upset, and he's coming for you. That's the card. All right. Fine.
you want to go into
this?
Again,
it's going to be a freaking spectacle. This is a spectacle. What they are putting together, that whole week is going to be nutty. There's so many things happening. This is good programming, and they're hot right now, so they could do it. Maybe not in 2 years, maybe not in 3 years, but right now they're super hot. They've connected to a very dedicated audience. AW Collision, I want to talk about that.
Do you want to hit this UFC story real quick?
Oh, yeah, let's go into the UFC. Yeah, before we go into Collision and because that's going to... This is interesting because we got a couple minutes here. UFC's negotiation window is happening April 15th, meaning they could negotiate with other networks, other channels, other providers, you know, anywhere. This is per Fightful. I'm sure Dave had a piece on this in The Observer, but I don't have that in my notes right now. It's from a couple weeks ago. So the New York Post highlighted frustration from TKO. This was weeks ago, right? Regarding the UFC 313 pay-per-view, where fans were not able to purchase the pay-per-view. It totally fell apart. ESPN ended up not removing it from the paywall and giving it for free the following day. And UFC and TKO officials were fuming at this. And, you know, normally these things can happen, right? They could happen. And obviously money is lost and there's ways to recoup that, obviously. But why are they so upset? Because this is a great opportunity for negotiating. If I'm mad at you, you're going to try to appease me a little bit more. And that's what seems to be happening here. UFC saw this as a great opportunity to be very upset with ESPN right at the time that the negotiation window is happening. ESPN wants to keep them. Why wouldn't you? But UFC has realized through TKO on the amount of money they could get if they go somewhere else. Netflix is being discussed, and it makes the most sense. Amazon is another name. But outside of those two, I mean, where else could they go? Could Fox get in the mix again? I don't know. They want to pay that much money. But you know who would? Amazon would and Netflix would. But part of the issue here is that the technology behind Netflix doesn't have a pay-per-view functionality option. They might now.
I think they do. Yeah, I think they do. Because Amazon might now. Does.
Yeah, but Amazon is always a purchasing service. Amazon has always been pay-per-view.
But so is Netflix.
Not really.
You have to pay.
You pay monthly fee. You don't pay per show. You know what I mean?
Well,
so I mean, they have Amazon has more of the infrastructure built in, but Netflix does not yet. So this could lead into something very unique where Netflix gets both products and they really become a live streaming hub for combat sport. Between boxing, UFC, and MMA. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Let's get into some AEW. I like Dynamite. These smaller venues are really helping them. They're at a really unique venue soon, right? By you in Detroit.
I think you mentioned that, but I don't think there's nothing official on that yet. Yeah. Masonic Temple in Detroit,
That's a really unique venue.
Yeah, it's the acoustics are going to be wild. It's an old old theater slash event space that's been around for 100+ years, or almost 100 years. So, yeah, if they run venues like this more often, I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, and you know, it's actually helping with their ticket sales. Not so much for All In so far, because I believe the current, they sold 146 tickets over the last week. There's about 101 days left till the show. They've outfitted the stadium for 18,000 people. I think they'll get there. They'll be fine. Once they announce the matches and the stipulations and any of the big surprises, you're gonna see it kind of change here. But we're on our way to Dynasty next week. Collision last night opened up with Toni Storm coming out dressed as Rosie the Riveter. She tried getting Megan Bain to come out. And after she finished the promo, Penelope Ford would kick her on the side. That shot was really well done because it was a close shot of her. And you just saw her her, the heel of her foot just come nail in. Nail her in the face. Bayman would then come out and hit her finisher on Tony. You got a Death Riders promo. Claudio challenged Cope to a singles match on Dynamite to get revenge on Cope for taking him out. He said that Adam had lost his edge and was trying to cope with it. Great job. John Moxley said that they were the only three people in the world he feared. His mother, his sister, and his wife. That was until he met Marina Shafir. They're really building Marina to be a monster here.
I think they succeeded.
Yeah.
In the way they presented her.
He felt that him and Swerve should just sit back and watch Shafir and Willow take each other on. Shafir told Nightingale to try to smile after getting her liver ripped out. Okay.
Yeah, when she said the line, I felt frightened.
And yeah, I'm like, all right, dude.
Moxley, just the look on his face was like, I don't know what to say. He just walked away.
All right, dude. Okay. I thought that was done well. The line, this line left Claudio and Moxley speechless as they walked away. They were kind of frightened by her. Jay White defeated Kevin Knight. This was a good match. Kevin Knight got some stuff in here. There's something in that Kevin Knight. I like them. You look good. Non-title TBS match. TBS champion Mercedes Moné defeated Robin Renegade. So Mercedes is doing this move where... what did I call it? What did I say it was? She goes into a tombstone and drops back and you eat her knees. And it looks really good.
I forget what they called it now, to be honest.
I literally just said it to you and I can't remember the word. But I was like, man, she should use that as the alternate finisher. But she is doing a bank statement again, which... I don't know. That final finisher, that new finisher of hers is not that great.
It's just hard to follow with the camera. You can't tell where the impact is.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. This was fine. Robin tried. So after the match, Mercedes was again dressing down Billy Stark's trainer for training her poorly. Here comes Athena. She would end up punching Mercedes. Robin Renegade would try to help Mercedes up, but then she shoved her.
The big story here was Mercedes is going to enter the Owen. And so I guess they're not doing Athena and her at the pay-per-view, which I thought they might.
But you could hold that for All In.
It's going to be in the tournament.
Or I'm Double or Nothing. Or in the tournament, or in Double or Nothing. You could do something. Mm-hmm. And that could lead
maybe
to something else.
Maybe that's finals of Double or Nothing.
It could be. I'm fine with that. The Learning Tree. Big Bill and Brian Keith defeated Top Flight. They're still building that as a tag team now. Wheeler Yuta defeated Dax Harwood. This was a good match. Better story, Dax would end up pushing Cash because he thought he was security. Then Cash walked off.
Yeah,
Hologram defeated Blake Christian.
DIY. I don't know.
I don't know what's happening with that. Yeah, I don't know what's happening. FTR, you mean, not DIY.
Yeah, yeah. Jesus. Good God.
too many letters. Hologram defeated Blake Christian. Good showing for Blake Christian again. And Jamie Hayter defeated Billy Starks. That was your collision. So some of the names announced for the Owen Cup. Yeah, go ahead.
Before you move on, what are they trying to front load these shows? Because that main event didn't feel like it should have been a main event.
Yeah, I don't know. Doing? This is something that they're trying, maybe. Maybe they're doing the Saturday night's main event thing.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps.
I mean, I don't know.
There's been a lot of women's matches main eventing, and this one didn't feel like it needed to be there. No offense to either of the ladies, but, you know, just where they are, it's like it feels like they're front-loading these shows.
Yeah, I don't know. The structuring is weird. Like, I don't, who's the star of the show?
Exactly. This,
because most of it is continuation of Collision. You know, a lot of this is a continuation of Dynamite. Yeah. It just, the fill-ins for Dynamite here. But maybe that's the plan. You know, you get a guy like Jay White that has a great match with Kevin Knight. You have, you know, Hologram is the guy on the show. When I think Collision, I think Mordos. I think Hologram. I think Jay White. I think FTR.
Yep.
You know, just some of them. Owen Hart, the Owen Hart Cup tournament on Collision for the women. Mercedes Moné, Jamie Hayter, Chris Statlander, Thunder Rosa. For the men, I don't have anything on my sheet. Is there anybody?
Well, they're not new. Those are all the stuff that was announced on Saturday night.
Yeah, so. But nothing for the men.
No, they were already announced. And they're going to do the brackets next week.
Yeah.
And Dynamite.
Yeah. Dynamite. You got a mixed tornado tag match. Jon Moxley, Marina Shafir against Swerve Strickland and Willow Nightingale. Will Ospreay is also returning. Cope versus Claudio. Tony Storm, Penelope Ford, and the men's and women's Owen Hart tournament brackets are going to be revealed. Here's the updated card, not the final card. I'm sure we're getting some more for Dynasty. AEW TNT champion Daniel Garcia defends against Adam Cole. No time limit, no interference. Cole, I this is the time to put it on him. Put the title on Adam Cole. ROH World Champion Chris Jericho defends against Bandido in a title versus mask match.
They haven't made this official yet, but it's probably happening.
It's probably happening, yeah. Yeah. AEW Trios Champions, the Death Riders, Wheeler Yuta, Pac, and Claudio defend against Rated FTR. So this is when things will possibly implode. You know what would be the moment? The moment would be Dax and Cash start, you know, Cope gets the pin. He gets pinned. They cost the match. Dax and Cash really flip on Cope. Here comes Christian. You got a Edge and Christian reunion. Christian turns babyface, and now you have a program for the next who knows when.
I feel like they're going to build it out, though. I feel like they won't do the whole reunite on that show. They maybe build it out to Double or Nothing and do it.
Maybe Double or Nothing. Yeah, maybe do it at Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
AEW International Champion. AEW International Champion. Kenny Omega defends against Ricochet and Speedball Mike Bailey. Kenny is so deceivingly large where you don't really think about it because he's not known for his size. But next to Mike Bailey, he's monstrous. He's huge. I'm looking forward to this match tremendously.
This is going to be, you're going to need a stopwatch, and they're going to be all over the place on this thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jon Moxley defends against Swerve Strickland, the AEW World Championship on the line. AEW Women's Champion Tony Storm defends against Megan Bain. No tag title match. No continental title match. But maybe they'll announce it.
Yeah, I think on Dynamite they gotta add more for sure.
Yeah. I think they'll add something.
Because,
here's the thing, right?
You know,
we all know we're getting Kenny Omega and Okada, and both of them are going to be champion. I was told this is going to be title for title. Both titles on the line, possible unification. That is a big match. But does that become a bigger match than your world championship on that show?
Depends on who the champion is.
Will Ospreay is probably going to be in that match. He's already talking about, you know, that, like, that's your big culmination, right? If we're going to fantasy book it here, Jon Moxley should retain this title. And I know people are getting very upset at that, but it's wrestling. You're supposed to be disgusted and upset by your heels being champions.
Because
at the end of the day,
it's a bigger moment.
When your babyface defeats him, he's such a hero.
Yeah, Ospreay's probably the guy. It makes the more I think about it, the more that makes the most sense of the person that should probably take it off of Mox. But they haven't haven't crossed paths yet. They're leaving them separate. So, in the same way that they're leaving Tony Storm and Mercedes separate.
Yeah. I this looks great. I'm excited for it, and it'll be a good card. You know, it just all these pieces are getting pieced together. They're putting it all together here. AW Collision air live Thursday, April 17th. This is part of the Spring Breakthrough Week. This way they avoid going head-to-head with WrestleMania Night 1, which is smart. The night before Dynamite, it'll be... So the night before, and this is really fun. April 16th will be the night that Dynamite will be the longest-running wrestling program in Turner Sports history, surpassing WCW Nitro.
It's wild to think.
Wild to think because... we still talk about WCW. We still talk about it. I mean, listen, but WCW was around, you know, the legacy of WCW was so much. I mean, you're going back to Crockett and you're going back to Mid-Atlantic. But as far as that boom period for them, it was such a short period where everything got so hot and it went so bad so quick. Positive here is if you're looking at where WCW was at the time, you know, 5 years into it and where AEW is 5 years into their show in prime time. I think AEW is in a much better position right now. They have Corpus Synergy. They have a company that's very pro AEW. You know, at the end of the day, WCW got canceled because you had people at AOL, Time Warner, that did not care for wrestling, and they thought it was lowbrow, stupid television. And they were wrong. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final segment of the show. Overall, a lot of fun this week with wrestling. You know, I am curious how the crowds in the U.S. are going to react to WWE once they return back home. Because this is the first time we've gotten a stretch of live, you know, foreign shows. I don't think they've ever done this, have they? No. Weeks. And I've never seen them do this. So I wonder if it's going to affect the crowds. Like, maybe that was part of the experiment that you do it this way, and maybe it transforms the U.S. crowds to be more engaging in that way. Is that a negative or a positive? I know a lot of people do not like how the fans kind of take everything over there. But we are in a hot period here for wrestling. So a lot of speculation regarding TNA and what they're doing. You saw the layoffs, right, MG?
I did. Poor Gail Kim.
A lot of I don't know why Gail. I mean, it seemed like it was more of a financial decision than anything else, but. She was very instrumental there in that company, in many key positions, very well liked. I don't know. Does she have a place in WWE in this world? You know, in this version of WWE, does she have a place? She was very against a lot of the things that company did. I just don't know.
AEW is more likely.
I mean, she would be incredible for AEW. Amazing, great talent, great mind. Was really refreshing when she came in to WWE when she did. Really interesting. Guys, that's it for this week of the show. We'll see you all next time. Enjoy your week. Bye-bye for now.